We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph. I have very mixed emotions about learning what we're about to learn now. Initially, we're entering our third year of the Novi Shiurim. And 2 years ago, when we first began the Novi Shiurim, the truth is, I was wondering what we should learn. And I thought people are familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. Not everybody knows the Chazals. Not everybody knows the way our Chachamim looked at the story. And I felt it would be very important for us to learn this. And this is actually the reason why I chose to learn Sefer Shmuel. This was one of the main reasons, the story beginning with David and Bathsheba. And there are other stories at the end of, as we progress through Shmuel Beis, a lot of the well-known stories that are misunderstood. And I was looking forward for years till we should get to this parak and be able to learn it. And all of a sudden we're here, and it's a scary thought to know how to present the stories we're about to learn correctly. To give you an idea of the right outlook. But to take a totally, totally different type of person, but there's almost no comparison with David HaMelech. There was the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, the Gemara says there are three kings who don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. So we're talking about the worst kings that could be. The Mishnah says they don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, and there's a dissenting opinion, perhaps they do, but they're among the worst kings. One of the kings was Menashe. The Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, the following story. It says, Ravashi Uki Ashlosha Melochim. Ravashi was giving a drasha, and he stopped before discussing the three kings. Amar, and he said, L'mochar Niftach B'chavrin. Tomorrow we'll discuss our comrades. We'll discuss our chaverim, meaning we're going to talk about the three kings, which seems to be a very nice way of putting it. Ravashi was for the greatest Amoraim. He's the one who finished compiling the Gemara from the Gedolei Ador, and he referred to the kings as his friends. We'll talk about our friends tomorrow. I don't know if he meant it sarcastically, but he meant we'll talk about these kings. Otsa Menashe, Yischazilei Bechelme. Menashe came and appeared to him in a dream. Omer, he said, Chavruch, your friend? V'chaveri davuch, and your father's friend. I'm a colleague with you and your family. Karislam, that's what you call us? Mehecha bois l'mishra amotzi. When you cut hamotzi, when you want to break off a piece of bread for the amotzi, which part of the bread are you used to break into? Somebody serves you a slice of bread. Where should you break off and take for the hamotzi? Amrle, so Ravashi said, lo yadana, I don't know. Amarlei, mehecha debois lemishra hamotzi lo gemiris. You don't know where you're supposed to take the bread for hamotzi. B'chavruch korison, you call us your friends? We're not in the same category. Amarlei, so Ravashi said, agmrili, teach me, let me know. And lemachar darish nalei mishmach bebirka. Tomorrow I'll say it over in your name. When I give a drasha tomorrow, I'll tell everybody where are you supposed to take when you break off the bread for amotzi. Where are you supposed to do b'tzias apas? Where are you supposed to break it? You tell me the halach and I'll say it in your name. Amr Leisa, he said, mehecha de karim bishule, from where the crust, from where it forms the crust. Meaning, I guess if you have a way to, if you're given a slice and you have the soft part, for the amotzi you should take a piece from the crust, not from the inside. Because that's considered better, the part, the crust is considered the better part. Amr Leisa, so Ravashi said to me, if you're so wise, my time of Palchisul Avodas Kochovim, why are you worshipping idols? Why was Menashe one of the worst kings where he said doesn't have a chilk in Olam Haba? Amrlai, so he said, Ihavas Hashem, if you would have been there, Havas Nakitna Bishipule Glima, you would have lifted up the ends of your garment, you would have lifted up your frock, or you would have lifted up your clothing, Viratas Abashra, and you would have come running after me. Lamachar, the next day, Ravashi began his drasha. And Amalu, he said to them, the Rabbanan, Niftach Brava Vasa, let's start talking about our Rabbeim. We'll talk about our teachers. Meaning the Gemara is saying, even though you might be dealing with one of the worst kings, that the Gemara says doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. But in learning, he seems to have been greater. It's hard to understand it. It's hard for us to really comprehend the nisyonos of those generations. And that's what the Gemara says. And that's talking about a king that's ein lo chelik Olam Haba. And Rav Ashi was corrected himself. They're not comrades. But we'll talk about our Rabbeim. We're about to learn, and I think today mostly we'll just learn through a few of the Gemaras before we really delve into the Pesukim. We'll do a few Pesukim and we'll touch on a number of the Gemaras. But Perek Yud Aleph is going to talk about the famous incident with David and Bathsheba. And we'll see what Chazal, we'll see first, especially today, a number of what the Gemaras say, and then we'll fit it in with the Pesukim. The Gemara does say that what happened with David and Bathsheba is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Hey. The Gemara says, Hey, Amid Beis, the Amr of Yoichlam Mishin Rav Shim Ben Yochoi, Lo David Ro'i La Osa Maisa. David was not fit to do what happened. We'll see what happened. It really was not him. Velo Yisrael Ru'im Lo Osa Maisa, just like Klal Yisrael would not have normally done the Maisa with the eagle, worshipping the golden calf. Lo David Roya La Osa Maisa, Klal Yisrael wasn't fit to do that type of action. Dichsi V'libi Chalal B'kirbi. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech eradicated his Yetzirah. It's like he killed his Yetzirah. His heart, V'libi, my heart, Chalal, is like dead B'kirbi inside me. He killed his Yetzirah. He afflicted himself and he totally broke his Yetzirah and he was totally focused on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this type of thing would never have happened. Ela lama asu, so why was this done? Why did they do it? Lomar lecha, to tell you, shim chata yachid, if any individual sins, oimrim lo, we say to him, kalech etzol yachid, go ahead and see the way an individual sinned. See what happened with David HaMelech. You can be the greatest person, you can make mistakes, and you can sin. And David did tshuva, and he ended up becoming greater than he was before this whole incident. He reached even higher levels. And if a tzibur sins, we say, listen, Klal Yisrael did the egel, and they did tshuva, and they also were forgiven, and got over the incident with the egel. But Rashi says, Loimer lecha gezeiras melech hoisa. It was a decree from the king. Litan pischon pelishovim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be an opportunity, people should see an example of a Baal Tshuva. This is the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis, Hamad Alf, and Avodah Zarah. So what happened with David and Bathsheba was there to show us that a person could do Tshuva. But let's first see the first Pasuk, and then we'll go a little more into it. Vayhi li Teshuvas Hashana. The year came around, it was a year later. Previously we learned David had fought against a number of kings. Starting back in Perek Ches, he had defeated the Plishtim, and they were humbled. Vayach David as Plishtim, Vayach Niem, he humbled the Plishtim in the beginning of Perek Ches. And he struck Moab, and he humiliated them, and he killed the majority of them, and they also totally defeated them, and they were subservient. That was Moab. And then we had Ammon. He sent messengers to the king of Ammon to comfort him over the loss of his father. This is in Perek Yud. And his messengers were humiliated. And then they ended up going to war against David, and they teamed up with Aram. And Aram was totally defeated with their tremendous giant, their general. Aram was totally defeated. And in the last pasuk we learned in Perek Yud, Vayashlimu as Yisrael, they made peace with Klal Yisrael. Vayavdum, and they served Klal Yisrael. Aram was also now subservient to Klal Yisrael. But Ammon, we'll see, Ammon was still ready to do war. Ammon was still involved, and we'll see in a minute, that's why eventually when Ammon is destroyed, is conquered. At the end of Perek Yud Beis, David gives them an especially harsh punishment, because Ammon was a standout that insisted on fighting against Klal Yisrael, and it was causing the whole world to feel that they could stand up to Klal Yisrael. But we'll see that at the end of Perek Yud Beis, how they get their eventual punishment. But after these wars, a year went by. Vayili Seshuvas Hashana, it was when the year comes around again. Leis Tseis Amalochim, it's a year from when the kings went out to war. And the Mephorshim point out, Leis Tseis Amalochim, it was the season when kings go to fight. In the springtime, when there's grass in the field for the animals to eat, there are fruits for people, so the food supply is not so difficult. It's the right climate. It was at that time of year. Vayishlach David es Yoav. David sent Yoav, Vesavodav, and his servants, Ema, with him. Ves Kol Yisrael, and he sent all of Klal Yisrael. Vayashchisu es Bnei Ammon. And they destroyed the people of Ammon. Meaning, the Mephorshim learned, they destroyed, and as they gave them a punishment, they, besides defeating them in war, they destroyed the land, and they wreaked havoc on Ammon because of the fact that Ammon had treated David's messengers and still weren't, and they, after the defeat, they still weren't accepting David as the victor, and therefore, by Ashkisos Bnei Ammon, they were destroyed. They destroyed the land, but Ammon still didn't surrender. They went to their capital city, to Rabbah, Vayatsuru al Rabbah. Now Yoav and his army surrounded Rabbah. V'David Yoshev Yerushalayim. David was staying in Yerushalayim. This pasuk is pivotal to what's happening. The Malbim points out, this happened. Klal Yisrael went to war. Where was David? Why wasn't David fighting with his men? He's staying back in Yerushalayim? There's a war going on. He should be there leading the troops. And you might say, well, he's exhausted. He just went through a difficult military campaign wiping out the other nations. So the pasuk says it was Lisishuvas Hashanah. It was a year later. Ammon was still ready to do war, but there was no active battles for quite a while. A year went by. He had time to rest up. And don't think it was a time when it was cold or it was rainy and it was a difficult. It was difficult, so he sent the army and he didn't go, perhaps. But it was Leis Tseis HaMalochim. It was the season when kings go to fight. So if there's going to be one time where you should feel able to lead the army and it shouldn't be too difficult, this is the time of year. And this was in the month of Sivan, Shavuos time. And that's when they went out to fight. And he sent Vayishlach David es Yoav. Don't feel that perhaps it was a small skirmish, it wasn't a major campaign, and David didn't feel he necessitated his presence. That's not so. Because David sent Yoav and his servants with him, Ves Kol Yisrael and all of Klal Yisrael. It was, they gathered together a tremendous, I guess, the regular army and the reserves. They brought up all of Klal Yisrael. This was a major battle. And he sent his commander-in-chief, he sent Yoav. And with all of that, and they destroyed Bnei Ammon, and the battle was still going on. They were now surrounding the city of Rabbah. And with all of this, David's not there. David stayed in Yerushalayim. And of course, we learned, of course, he was Isaac in Tefillah, and he was davening for them, and he was. But it was felt that David should have gone out with the soldiers, and he should have participated. And what's going to happen is an outcome of the fact that he was in Yerushalayim. The Mephorshim point out Tehillim Chav Vav is perhaps would give us an idea of David's feeling at this time, the way he felt, you know, about his own spiritual stature. The pasuk says, "LeDavid," this is a mizmor said by David, "Shafteini Hashem, judge me Hashem, ki ani besumi halachti, I've walked in perfect innocence, uvashem botachti, and I've put my trust in Hashem." Lo emor, I won't waver. B'choneini Hashem, examine me Hashem, v'naseini, and test me. Sarfach Yosai, scrutinize my intellect, see if my intentions are pure, v'libi, in my heart. Your kindness is always before my eyes. I've walked in your truth. I didn't sit with dishonest people. I didn't associate with hypocrites. I hated the gathering of evildoers. And I won't sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in purity. And I circle around your mizbeach. Lashmia b'kol todah, to proclaim thanks in a loud voice, ulisaper kol niflo secha, and to tell over your wonders. Hashem ohavti ma'on beisecha. Hashem, I love the dwelling, the shelter of your house, the makom mishkan kvodecha, the place where your kavod, your glory resides. Al tesovim chatoim nafshi. Gather not my life with the sinners, v'iman sheidomim chayoi, and my life with the men of bloodshed. Asher bideim zima, who have in their hands conspiracy, v'imina mala shochad, and their right hand is full of bribery. V'ani basumi eilech, my foot goes on the straight path. Pideini, redeem me, v'chaneini, and show me favor. Ragli yomda v'mishar, my foot is on the straight path. V'makelim avarech Hashem, I'll bless. In groups of people, I'll bless Hashem. Basically, David is saying, test me. In other words, my heart is pure and my faith is secure in Hashem, and my life is going around the Mizbeach and just telling over the wonders of Hashem. He's totally focused on Avodas Hashem, and he's reached a level of greatness that David HaMelech can say in all honesty between him and Hashem, this is a mizmah that David said to Hashem, you yourself know you can test me. You know how pure my motives are. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Zayin, says as follows. On Daf Kuf Zayin, Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Le'olam al Yovi Odom Atzmo Lidei Nisoyon. A person should not bring himself to be in a situation of a test. A person might figure, I'll do something where I'm tested. I'll go to a place where I have a tremendous Nisoyon. And then if I withstand it, my reward will be tremendous, and it'll be the greatest service of Hashem if I was able to withstand it. But that's the wrong approach. Sharei David Melech Yisrael hevi atzmo lidei nisoyon. David Melech Yisrael brought himself to a test, v'nichshal, and he stumbled. He made a mistake. Amar lefonov. Now again, we already know that lesson. We can say in davening, and as we daven, we shouldn't have a test, we shouldn't have this humiliation. David HaMelech is before that. We learned this from David. Amar lefonov. David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, mipnei ma omrim Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'Elokei Yaakov. Why do we say when we daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, he's Elokei, the God of our forefathers. Vein omrim Elokei David. Why isn't Hashem referred to as Elokei David? And we had learned earlier, when David had wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was told that he would not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem told him over there, I'll give you a name, Vasisi Lecha Kshem, Kshem HaGedolim Asher Ba'aretz. I'll give you a name, Vasisi Lecha Kshem Godol, in Perek Zion. I'll give you a great name, like the Kshem HaGedolim Asher Ba'aretz, like the name of the Gedolim, the great ones of the land. Like we say Magen Avram, when we say the Brachas on Haftorah, we say Magen David. He's put in the same, like Avram, you mentioned David HaMelech. But yet we don't say Elokei David. And David understood that just like the Avos created Klal Yisrael, he's the forebear, the beginning of monarchy, of Malchus Beis David. And just like the Avos created Klal Yisrael by him being the king of Malchus Beis David, he's also creating such an essential component of our people, we should say Elokei David. Omar. So he was given the response. Hashem told him, Inu Minsuli, they were tested by me. The Avos all lived a life of test. Avram, of course, with all the 10 tests, with Akedah, and Yitzchak was the one whose life was, he was ready to sacrifice his life at Akedah, and Yaakov went through a life of such difficulty. They were tested. Vatlo Minsisli, you were not tested. And to use the term Elokei, a person has to stand the test and show that Hashem is your Elokim. Now, of course, a person's always tested. Every minute there's a Nisoyan. Should he do the right thing or the wrong thing? But it's obviously, we're talking about a test of a different level that's much more difficult, and it's a test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be willing to be known as the Elohim over Avraham, the Elohim of Yitzchak. It's a much higher level than a regular test like we all go through every minute. Amar Lefanov. So David HaMelech said, Ribono Shel Olam, B'chaneini. So Hashem, test me. V'naseini, examine me and test me. Shenemar v'chaneini Hashem v'naseini. He quotes this kapitel in Tehillim that we just learned. Hashem said to David said to Hashem, test me and scrutinize me. Amar means son aloch. So Hashem said, okay, I'm going to give you a test. Va'vidna milsa ba'doch, but I'm going to do something with you. Diladidhu lo hodatinu, that I didn't inform the avos. When the Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov got their tests, they weren't told in advance what the test was going to be. They were told to do something, or sometimes they weren't even told it directly, and they just had to know what to do, what Hashem would want them to do. They weren't forewarned. V'ilu anokom odanoloch, and I'm going to inform you exactly what your test is going to be. D'mansinoloch v'divar erva, I'm going to test you in an area of erva, of a forbidden relation, of taking a woman who's not allowed to you. So David was told this was going to be the test. Miyad, and immediately, the Gemara brings the next pasuk. Vayhi le'esa erev. It was in the evening. Vayokam David mi'al mishkovo. David got up from his bed. Vayishalech al-gag beis hamelech, and he walked on the roof of the palace. Toshab Shah was David HaMelech used to spend his whole night up learning. He used to doze off. The Gemara discussed it a little bit before Chatzos, and part of the night was learning, and part of it was Shiros V'Sishpachos. He sang his songs and Tehillim to Hashem. So he used to take a nap, and he used to Poshut rest up in the afternoon. That's the Poshut Shah. Vahi Leisa Erva was in the evening, after he took his nap in the afternoon. And Chazal bring down, the Malbim brings it down, that when David used to eat a meal by himself, so he used to sleep. I'm not sure exactly what time the sleep started. The Gemara says he slept for a very short time. There were cat naps, or kishina sasus, like a horse sleeps, a very short nap. But he used to get up like 9 hours in the day. Let's say 3 p.m. on a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Daytime schedule. So he'd get up like 9 hours into the day. And when he ate a royal banquet, then he used to sleep till the evening. Again, I don't know if that means the banquet lasted longer and he went to sleep later. But he used to sleep perhaps on those times a little longer, but he slept till the evening. So Pashup's shot was, the army's out at war, and for whatever reason there was an occasion that David wanted to make a royal banquet, and he did, and he got up in the evening, Leisa Erev, and David got up Mi'al Mishkova from his bed, Vayisalech Agag Beis HaMelech, and he went on the roof of the palace. But the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this Gemara on Daf Kuf Zayin, Vayhi le'esa erev, Vayokam David mi'al mishkovo v'goymer, Omer Rav Yehuda, Shehofach mishkovo shel laila l'mishkovo shel yom. David HaMelech had an intention. Rashi says, Shoy mishamish mitosu v'yom, Kedei sheyisaveya mitashmish, Lo yihara acher isha kol hayom. What the Gemara is saying is, David had an intention that he knew that his test was going to be in a woman that was forbidden to him. So David HaMelech was together with his wife during the day. And he figured this way he would have no interest at all afterwards. And he would whatever, and therefore, v'lo yaharher achar isha kol hayom. He wouldn't even think, it wouldn't, afterwards, it wouldn't be interested at all. So he had this kavana. He knew he was going to get a test in this area. So David got up, me'al mishkova, v'yishalech al-gag v'yishamach, and he got up from where he was lying with his wife, and he went on the roof of the palace. V'nis alma mimenu halacha. The Gemara says he forgot an important rule. Eiver katan yesh ba'odam, maspio roiv marivo saveya. Which means, when a person gives into his yetzahara, in a more general term, when a person gives into his Yetzirah, a person figures, you know, whatever the Yetzirah is, I'll give in now, and this way I won't be interested later. But it doesn't work that way. The Yetzirah, the Gross says, is like drinking salt water. A guy drinks salt water, doesn't quench his thirst, he gets thirstier because of the salt content. A person thinks, you know, given to his Yetzirah a little, and this way he won't have the desire anymore. You know, a person thinks, oh, he's got a Yetzirah for whatever area. He'll do a little bit, and that's it. Then the Yetzirah won't bother him. But that's, it doesn't work that way. A person does a little, he wants more. It had the opposite effect. Now, of course, David wasn't aware of this. He overlooked this halacha. So he was walking on the roof of the palace. And he saw a woman who was washing herself on the roof. And the woman was very beautiful. The Gemara says, Basheva hava kachayfa reisha. Basheva was like shampooing her hair. She was taking a shower. She was washing herself. Tosi chalosa under a cone. Or she had some type of cone or a canopy. There was something covering her, obviously to protect her from view. In a way that was perfectly tsanua. Asa satan, the satan came, idmile kitziparta. And the satan was able to appear like a bird flying by. Pasuk begira. So David HaMelech shot an arrow at the bird. Pasuk lechala. So the arrow went and hit this cone, and it cut through it, and it made a hole in the cone. So now, Igalia, she was now revealed. So Bathsheba was washing herself, and she was secluded, she was covered. But now when he shot this arrow at the bird, she was exposed. Igalia v'chazia, and he saw her. Now, we'll see from other chazals, David knew that Bathsheba was supposed to be his shidduch. David knew that Bathsheba was supposed to be, in fact, there's a chazal that he had even met Uriah way back when he was fighting Goliath. But David was aware of the fact that Uriah had married this woman, and he also knew that it was supposed to be eventually his wife, which eventually, this is where the monarchy came from. Shlomo HaMelech's mother is Bathsheba, which we're going to learn about. And David knew that he was going to be tested. And it seems that the main the fault of David is he should have waited. Now is not yet the time. But David was aware of all this. In fact, David was no longer at the beginning of his monarchy. Years had gone by. As we saw before, as we will see, David Shlomo HaMelech became king at the age of 12. Before him, Bathsheba had a child who died. So it could have been around 2 years from when David first met Bathsheba till Shlomo was born, and 12 years later he became the king. 12 years later. Meaning this happened, let's say, in the last 14 years that David HaMelech was king. Meaning he was king over all of Klal Yisrael for 33 years. And there was more than 15 years of quiet, and the Malchus was going on, and David had no idea who was going to be his heir. The one who was eventually would take over from Shlomo was only 12 years old. And we'll see there was a strong movement to make other sons the king. His own general Yoav, we'll see later on, selected Adoniyahu and felt that Adoniyahu should be the king, a different son of David. After all, Shlomo was too young to be the king. They felt one of the older brothers should be king. And David was aware of this fact. He didn't know yet who was going to take over the Malchus. The years are going by. He knows Bathsheba is supposed to be the one who's going to be his wife. And all of a sudden, this strange thing happens. He shoots an arrow at a bird, and all of a sudden, he sees Bathsheba. Va'isha tova smara ma'od. Now, the Novi just says she was very beautiful. The Novi is mentioning, as I say, the Novi speaks in the harshest terms to what happened with David HaMelech. And incidentally, that's one of the greatest proofs that the Nevi'im were written, it was all dictated by Hashem, it's what Hashem wanted, because there'd be no country that would allow a history and a story of their leaders to be written in such a scandalous manner, especially a king who was so popular, and Klal Yisrael has such a love and an admiration for David HaMelech. And yet the Navi writes it in the harshest terms. So the Navi just writes she was very beautiful. Now the truth is she was very beautiful, and it caught David HaMelech's attention and focused him on the fact that Bathsheba was supposed to be his wife. But the Gemara says, just to spend a few minutes, a little bit about who Bathsheba was, because the Navi doesn't discuss it. But there's a pasuk like this at the end of Mishle, and Perek, the last Perek, Perek Lamed Aleph. There's the following Perek begins like this. You'll be surprised at what at how the Perek continues, because it's something we say every Friday night. But the Perek Lamed Aleph begins as follows. Divrei Lemuel Melech. The simple meaning is the words of Lemuel, the king. But Chazal say Lemuel is Lomoy toward, Lomoy is like to him, Kale, toward Hashem. This is the word of the king who is focused toward Hashem. And here it's referring to Shlomo HaMelech. Masa, it's like a nevuah, like a prophetic vision. Asher Yisarto Imo, the musar that his mother gave him. Shlomo HaMelech's mother, Bathsheba, criticized him. And when he heard a criticism from his mother, he viewed her words like it be the Navi coming from Hashem. It was the word of God, whatever his mother said. He viewed it as a masa, as a nevuah, the words that his mother said to criticize him. In fact, the Gemara is going to say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Malamit shekafoso imo. His mother actually took Shlomo and tied him up al amud by the pillar, by against an amud, a pillar. Va'amrlo, and she gave him the following musar. But she tied him up to give him like Malchus. She was gonna give him a beating because he did the following thing wrong. Chazal over there say the story was he had the keys to the Beis Hamikdash with him, and it was the night after he had married the daughter of Paro, and he got up late that morning, and they couldn't do the avodah because the keys to the Beis Hamikdash were by his pillow. So you can imagine the morning after his mother showed up, the mother-in-law's there at the door bright and early. Bathsheba showed up, the Dovid got the keys to the Beis Hamikdash. But she gave him this musar. And the fact that he accepted the musar, even though he was already the king, and he viewed it as a nevuah. And she said to him as follows, V'amrlo, Mabri, what are you doing, my son? What's with you? Mabri, what's with you, my son? Umabar bitni, what are you doing, the son of my womb? Umabar nidorai, and the son of all of those vows that I made. And the Gemara explains, what is this triple phrase? My son, and the son of my womb, and the son of my vows. The Gemara says as follows. Mabri, what's with you, my son? Hakol yodim shavicha yirei shamayim. Everybody knows that your father is a yirei shamayim. Everybody knows that David HaMelech is a tremendous tzaddik. Yirei shamayim hava. Achshav, and now with your behavior, people are going to say, Yomru imo garmalo. They're going to say, you know why he turned out like that? It must be his mother. His father's a big tzaddik. So Mavri, what's with you, my son? People are going to say, when you do something wrong, it's because you're my son. Umabar bitni. And what's with you, the son of my womb? Kol hanoshim shel beis avicha, all the other wives of David HaMelech, kiven shemis abros, shuv einon roz pnei HaMelech. When they became pregnant, they no longer saw David HaMelech. They were hoping that they had the royal, possibly their child would be the king. And once they were muberes, they weren't together with David. Vani dochakti v'nechnasti. But I made an effort, even when I was expecting you to still be together with David, to have relations, Kadeshia Haley, Ben Mizuruz and Maluban, because that's beneficial for the child. So the son of my womb means even after I was expecting you, I did everything that you should turn out the best possible. Uma bar nidorai, and the son of my vows, Kol Noshim Shel Beis Avicha, all the other wives of David HaMelech, how you know, Rose, they used to make a vow. Yehali bein hogun lemalchus. I should have a son who's fit to be the king. And they would make a vow to abstain from something or to accept some special area, to do something special. They just wanted to have a son who could be the king. Vani nodarti, but I, Bathsheba, made a neder of Amarti, and I said, Yehali ben zoriz umamula betorah. I should have a son who's energetic and who's full of Torah. Vahogun lenevius. and he should be fit to be a prophet. He should be a Novi. That was my whole focus. Not just, I wasn't interested in a son who's a king. I wanted to have a son who would be a Talmud Chacham, who would be a Gadol Batorah, who would be fit to be a Novi. That's what I wanted. This was the son of my vows. And what happened with you? And the pasuk over there continues, the perek in Malachim says, Al titein lanoshim chilecha, don't give your strength to women, you shouldn't be involved with so many wives, udrachecha lamchos malachim, your conduct shouldn't destroy the protocol of kings. It's not proper for the kings to be involved in drinking wine. Allah malachim shiso yoyin, the king shouldn't be drinking wine and going after strong drink. And she gives him a very powerful musar, that he should spend his time on helping out those that need his help. Pesach picha le'ilem, the person who can't speak in his defense, you should take up his cause. El din kol b'nei chaluf, take the justice of all those who are confused. That's what you should do. And Shlomo HaMelech said, after his mother gave him such a scathing musar, he said, Eishes chayel miyimsa, v'rochok mipninim michra. And the rest from there to the end of Mishlei is what we say Friday night. That an Eishes Chayel, a woman of valor, somebody that David HaMelech had, a wife like this Bathsheba, who had such an interest in her son becoming a true Oved Hashem. This was the Bathsheba. But that's not the Bathsheba we see here. Because the Novi is interested in portraying... It's a lesson, again, like the Gemara says that we mentioned earlier, to show how David HaMelech made a mistake, and he did tshuva, and how he was able to reach even greater levels. And that's the lesson that we take out of it. But you should realize that there's a lot more than what meets the eye. So it was L'Esa Erev, it was in the evening. Vayokum David me'al mishkovo, he got up from his bed. Vayishalech al gag beis HaMelech. And he walked on the roof of the king's palace. The king was in Ir David, which is on a mountain. The city of David's on a mountain. And his palace is high up, and he's on the roof of the palace. So he's got a view over there. He gets up, and he's looking over the city, probably, to see what's doing. The city's been growing. Klal Yisrael's been successful. And he's blamed. Vayar isha rochetzes mi'al hagog. He saw a woman who was washing herself on the roof. We're going to go into a maisa that's a problem of chil Hashem, and we'll see some of David's justifications and some of the reasons that he had behind it. But it seems as if when it's dealing with chil Hashem, the pasuk's not interested in the tirutzim. It's not interested in the answers. As far as we're concerned, the way it looked to anybody who wasn't aware, it seemed on a very simple level. He was on the roof, and he saw a woman washing on the gog, Ma'isha Tova Samara Ma'od, and she was very beautiful, and what ensued is going to create a Chil Hashem, which is going to cause David to do such a tremendous tshuva and make a Kiddush Hashem, the way he views a lapse in Avodas Hashem so seriously. And it mentions her beauty because that's initially what caught his attention. It caused David to notice and to realize this is Bathsheba that was supposed to be his wife. Again, David was nearing the age of 60. He didn't know who was going to take over the Malchus, who was going to be the ruler after him, and he knew Bathsheba was going to be his wife. So even though he knew that he was going to be tested in this type of area, Vayishlach David. David sent a message. Vayidrush Lisha. And he inquired after this, who this woman is. Vayomer, and whoever he sent, he probably sent a single person. Vayomer, and the single messenger came back and he said, Halo Zos Bathsheba Bas Eliam. Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Eishes Uriah Achiti, who's the wife of Uriah Achiti? David initially just sent a message to inquire who she was. He didn't just go and take Bathsheba. He wanted to know who she was. Now, when he got this response, we'll see in Pasuk Dalet, now, Vayishlach David sent messengers and he took her. But before he did that, he first wanted to ascertain who he's dealing with. Now, the fact that he heard this was Bathsheba Basalim, the wife of Uri Achiti, that told David, first of all, he knew it was Bathsheba. And he knew Bathsheba was supposed to be his shidduch. And the Mefarshim, by the way, point out from there, normally we always think of a person, Zivug, the correct shidduch is the first. That's the way we normally think. But it's not always that way. As we see from David, Bathsheba was first married to somebody else, and it was the second marriage that was the ikker. These things we don't understand how you know, and how, as they say, you know, you don't have to worry whether you married the right spouse. You have to worry about being the right spouse. You know? But Lamaisa, this was David HaMelech Shidduch. This was Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and she's the wife of Uri Achiti. The fact that she's the wife of Uri Achiti was a man in his army. In fact, we'll learn later on, in Perek Chof Gimel, it lists all of the Giborim, all of the mighty men that David HaMelech had. And over there in Pasuk Lamed, in Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Lamed Tes, it mentions Uri Achiti was among the Giborim of David. The last Pasuk in Perek Chof Gimel. So David knew exactly who Uriah was. That was one of his star soldiers. No, he was one of the Giborim. Not only that, but we'll see later, Eliam, the father of Bathsheba, was the son of Achitophel. Achitophel was an advisor of David, who we'll see later on turned against David, and led a revolt of Avshalom against David. And this Achitophel, that was David's advisor, that was so close to David, it was his granddaughter. It was this Bathsheba's, the daughter of Eliam, who was the daughter of Achitophel. So he knew exactly who she was. In fact, the Mefarshim say, when Achitophel led the revolt of Avshalom against David, it could be part of his reason was that he felt David did wrong in taking Bathsheba, and that's why he turned against David. Because if you think about it, if Bathsheba is his granddaughter, comes out Shlomo HaMelech is his great-grandson. So Achitophel, more than anyone else, Achitophel should have wanted Shlomo to be the king. It's his descendant. But he had such an animosity to David after this incident, it could be that's the reason why Achitophel turned against David. But David knew exactly who she was. She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and Eliam was the son of Achitophel. The wife of Uri Achiti, either he came from the nation of Chais, him or his ancestors, and they were Magayer, they became Yidden, they joined Klal Yisrael, or maybe he lived in the land of the Chitim. But David found out who she was. And therefore, in Pasuk Dalid, Vayishlach David Malochim, David sent messengers, Vayikocheha, and he took Bathsheba. The Gemara discusses in Ksuvus on Daf Tes. The Gemara discusses if a married woman lives together with another man, normally she has a din of a seita, she's chayiv misa, she's eishes ish. If a married woman commits adultery, they deserve the death sentence, the man guilty of the act and the woman. And the Gemara discusses, how was she allowed to marry David? We'll see there were a number of questions with this incident. He took Bathsheba, and we'll see later on he caused Uriah to die, and then he remained married to Bathsheba, and of course he did a tremendous tshuva, which is a lesson for everyone. But how did he stay married to Bathsheba? She was a married woman at the time she lived with David. So of course they're both chayiv misa, but besides that, even if there's no witnesses, but the person becomes usher, the woman becomes usher to her husband, she becomes forbidden to her husband, and she becomes forbidden to the Boel, to the man that she sinned with. So Mivnei Malo Asrua, why wasn't she usher to David? So first the Gemara answers Hasam Oynes Hava. You could say, in terms of her, it wasn't her decision. She was forced, she was taken, and therefore it wasn't done willingly, and therefore she doesn't become usher to. She doesn't become usher because it was done by against her will. And then the Gemara gives another answer. V'boy seima. If you want, I'll tell you as follows. Ki ha'ad amar Rav Shmo bar Nachmeni amar Rav Yonasan. Kol hayotzei lemochemes beis David. Anybody who went out to war with David HaMelech's army, get krisus kosev l'ishto, would write a divorce for his wife. Anybody going out to war gave his wife a get first. Dechsiv, and what's the proof? Because when Yishai sent David years earlier, and he sent David to see how his brothers were doing at the battle, it says over there in Perek Yud Zayin, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Besachecha tivko l'shalom. Yishai told his son David, inquire about the welfare of your brothers. Besaruvosam tikoch. And the simple meaning means if they gave in a rovon, if they gave a mashkon, if they had to borrow money, and they gave certain things as collateral, pay up whatever debts and get back their mashkin, get back any collateral, settle all of their accounts for them. And that's what Yishai wanted David to do. But the Gemara says, Aruvosam tikoch, my ves aruvosam tikoch, Tani Rav Yosef, Devarim hamuravim beino leveino. Aruvosam means what mixes, what combines a husband and wife. The marriage, take away that marriage, take away the aruvosam, what joins the husband and wife, take away their marriage. Meaning, get a get from the husband to divorce his wife. There might have been a sudden military conscription, and they were taken off the army before having a chance to write a get. Or perhaps this was Yishai's idea that he just did with his sons. But David HaMelech obviously would have picked up on this, and in his army, anybody who went to war wrote a get to his wife. Rashi says, Shim yomus bamilchama. If he should die in battle, yehi get miyom kisivoso. From the day the get is written, it takes effect. Or if you could write a get, let's say on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he gave it to his wife, and then he went to the battlefront. And it was what's called the get al tanai. It's with a condition. The deal is, if the husband comes back from war, the get should not be valid. And if he doesn't come back from war, then it is a get. Bareimis Uriah b'molchama, and eventually Uriah ends up dying. Uriah did not come back from battle. So it comes out, she wasn't married at the point that David took her. Bathsheba was married to Uriah. Uriah gave her a get with an understanding if he doesn't return from the war, she should be divorced. The reason why people did that could be simply, first of all, there can always be a missing in action. There's no idea what happened to the husband. And even if the husband is killed very often, he's buried in haste. Certainly if the Jewish army had to bury him, let's say they were fleeing, they'd quickly bury everyone and run. And certainly if a soldier was killed and the goyim were in charge of the body, it's possible that it would never be identified. So the policy was they should write a get for their wife, that the wife should not be an iguna, she shouldn't be stuck to a husband that she doesn't know what happened to him. So therefore they would always write a get. This is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. In fact, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Noach lo la'odim sheyovo asofik eishas ish. It's preferable for a person to do an aveira and live with a woman who is a suffix, a question mark. Maybe she's an eishas ish. Val yalbim p'nei chaveira barabim. And not to humiliate, to make somebody's face turn white and drain the blood, which is like a bloodshed, to kill somebody, not to embarrass him in public. Minole, how do you know this? Midorash Rava, from the drush of Rava. The Dorash Rava, Rava explained, my dichsiv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Hey, and the pasuk says, Uvitzali, which we're understanding it to mean, Uvitzali is like, Vayikach es Hatzela, Hashem took the bone from Adam Harishon and he made Chava. Vayiven es Hatzela, and he built that bone to be Chava. So Uvitzali, with my wife, Samchu, my enemies had such a joy, v'nesafu, and they gathered around me, and they taunted me. Karu, if they would have ripped me open, v'lodamu, they'd see no blood. My blood was like totally drained. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Goloi v'yadua lefanecha, it's known before you, shim hayu makarin basari, if they tear my flesh, lo haya dami shoses la'aretz, my blood wouldn't drain to the ground. No, there would be no bleeding. Again, it's like saying to Hashem, you know it. In other words, it wasn't just an exaggeration, exactly what, and how that's possible, but that's the way it was. David's humiliation, embarrassment was beyond comprehension. V'lo od, and not only that, el afilu b'shor she'oskim b'negoyim v'ohalos. It could be the Chachomim would be sitting together, and they'd be discussing topics of the Torah that don't relate to David at all. They'd be talking if there's a nega, there's leprosy on different places, whatever, what's the din of negoyim, and ohalos, if there's a dead person in an oil, in a covering, in a shelter, and does the tumah go to the other things. Totally different topics. All of a sudden they'd turn to me, I remember, and they'd say, David, habal eshesish misasu bama, if somebody lives with an eshesish, with a married woman, what kind of a death penalty does Bezdin give him? That's what they would ask David. Like on a totally different subject, it turns to David. What's the penalty for an adulterer? Vani oimer lahem, and I would say to them, misaso bechenek. The misas chenek through choking. V'yesho chelik olam haba. But you should know a person guilty of that, who's killed in Bezdin, still has a chelik in olam haba. Aval hamal ben es pnei chaveru barabim, ein lo chelik olam haba. But a person who's accustomed, a person who embarrasses others, Mavav Bnei Chaver Barabim, does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. But that's what David HaMelech had to put up with. And the Gemara implies, like Rashi, Noach lo la'odom sheyovo al suffik eshesish, that what David was involved with was a suffik eshesish. Uriah gave his wife a get with a condition. If he returns from battle, she's not divorced. If he doesn't return from battle, she is divorced. It's going to be a suffix what's going to happen. And David had ways of, probably he felt, he could work it out that Uriah wouldn't return from battle. We'll see in the end, Uriah was killed. But even without killing him, the truth is David could send him that he just, you know, he doesn't come back. See, he'll work out something. But he knew that Bathsheba was going to be his shidduch. And Bathsheba was going to be his wife. And he had his reasoning why he felt this was permitted, and technically it was. Or at least it was a suffix eshesish. Now, Tosfos over there in Ksuvos, and we have today's a lot of Gemaras. Next time we'll cover more of the Pesukim. But the background, I say there's many, many Gemaras that deal with this discussion. But Tosfos asks that according to Rashi, how could that be? You know, it's David HaMelech did an aver with a suffix eshesish. How could it be? Tosfos learns that it was an absolute get. Anybody going out to war divorced his wife, period, no conditions. Bathsheba was not married. But there was an understanding if the husband comes back from war, they'll remarry. It wasn't like there was any problems with the marriage. They were happily married, but he's going out to war, so out of consideration for his wife, he gave her the get. And then when he comes back from the battle, they remarry. The Gemara calls it a suffix eshesish, just like a suffix, because this was done privately. People didn't know about it. It wasn't a public ceremony. The guy quietly would give his wife a get that she should have the get if something happens. But since it wasn't like publicized, and people understood that Bathsheba's Uriah's wife, because Uriah's going to come back from that battle and remarry her. Therefore, David is going to be held responsible for what happens. So Vayishlach David Malachim. David sends the messengers, Vayikocheha, and he took her. Vatovo Elov, she came to him. It implies that she came, in other words, they took her, but she also willingly went. Vatovo Elov, she went to him. Some of Farshim say that, in other words, she was aware of all these cheshbonos and whatever the legal rationale was, and she went. Vayishkav Imo, and David lived with her. She was no longer a nida. She had been washing herself in order to go to the mikveh afterwards, that she would not be a nida, and she'd be permitted to, or her husband. She'd be tahar. The truth is, in those days, everyone was makbid on tumah and tahara. People washed, being tovel on a regular basis. People were very careful with tumah. Most types of tumah, we don't keep nowadays. But in those days, even single children would go to the mikveh different. If they touched something, if they didn't know, you know, people kept themselves in a state of purity because they dealt with truma and kudshim, and they had things that had food that had to be kept pure. Anyway, so she went to the mikveh. She was miskadeshes mitumasa. She became pure from her for her defilement from being a nida, which is also clear that obviously the avera was not as bad as the pasuk makes it out to be, because if somebody's an ashes ish, like nidas is a lesser offense. Nidas chayiv karis, person's chas v'shalom wiped out from Klal Yisrael, he dies young or whatever the onus of karis is. Mises bezdin though is much worse, and the pasuk is saying you should know she wasn't even a nida. So obviously you understand that she wasn't really an ashes ish. Vatoshav el Beisa, and then afterwards she went back to her house. Vayishlach malachim, the pasuk is in the plural. He sent messengers. Could be he sent messengers to convince her that the king wanted her, to convince her, and then she came. And the Zohar says this happened in the end of Elul, end of the month of Elul. If they had gone to war, Yoav and the whole army went to war in Sivan, when the kings go out to fight in the springtime. So this was in Elul. There was 3 months between Sivan and the end of Elul. So Tom was Ta'av to Elul. This was more than 3 months had passed. So it would be clear, a woman, even if she's divorced, has to wait 3 months at least, or after one marriage, to know clearly that the child, who the father of the child will be. But here there was this the 3 months time period in between. It was the end of Elul, and again, it's before Rosh Hashanah. It's before David HaMelech, but it's at that time of year. But David HaMelech felt that what he was doing was right. And he was aware that he was going to be tested in this manner. But sometimes a person's told he's going to get a test, and then he overreacts and he misses out on an opportunity and something that he should have done. So David was aware of all the facts. But David HaMelech felt this was the right decision. And we'll see, he's held accountable. Perhaps it wasn't yet the time he should have waited. But what happened was David took Bathsheba, and then afterwards, Vatoshev El Beisa, she returned to her home. And we'll see later on what happens and the rest of the story. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.